Blog Talk Radio.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Seven with my physical heaven, manifest God like a reverend. It was done in the past, blessed by the first and last. With the blind left, Sodom with the blast. Harassed by Romans, perverted, converted. Inserted in scrolls. You read it, you heard it, converted, murdered, asserted to justify the men you crucified. Now I revert it. War rock, raise the sun. It had to be done. Sheep catch it for slaughter. Nowhere to run, lost in the wilderness. A ghost stubborn under summon from the house of death. Eighth wonder, embodied in son of James. Break the peninsula, the rap map flat. I made it perpendicular. Form right angle, I strangled this mic, untangled the cord. Wing my sword, star spangled banner. In a warrior's manner, cutting heads off snakes. Immortalized like Highlander, moved like seven spirits across seven seas. Bringing seven plagues, I'm deadly like incurable disease. Woman license leaves on dirty bitches. Burning riches in a dog fight tonight if they live. Send them in stitches, my hand itches. Grab a pen, begin writing blotting glitches. Eighth wonder, thunder against witches. Warlocks, and the priest of the beast. Eighth wonder with the scriptures, your shackles released. Grab your tablets of destiny, equipped with the weaponry. Son, hold your ground, don't test me. I rock warlocks, and the priest of the beast. Eighth wonder with the scriptures, your shackles released. Grab your tablets of destiny, equipped with the weaponry. Son, hold your ground, don't test me.
There is no faith more true or just than to know the things that are. To acknowledge thanks for all things to the one that made them, which thing I will not cease continually to do. Hat Eden Amen, which translates into all praise be to Amen. Good Harukamen fam, you're tuned into another episode of Amani Speaks. I am your host, Amen Ray Minute Hout. Today's show is titled, Show 'em What You Got. The quote of today's show comes from the Natir Sesson, Book 5, verses 42 through 49, and they go as follows. For you are what I am. You are what I do. You are what I say. You are all things, and there is nothing else you are not. You are you, all that is made, and all that is not made. The mind that understands, the Father that makes and frames. The good that works, the good that does all things. Of the matter, the most subtle and slender part is air. Of the air, the soul. Of the soul, the mind. Of the mind, Amen. End quote. I'm going to show you what I got. That's why I named the show, Show 'em What You Got. And first I'm going to start out by going into the heart of Indirazi. And the heart of Indirazi is what I call three prayers. One that we say in the beginning of the day, one that we say in the middle of the day, one that we say at the end of the day. And when my brother first set this up, I thought it was pretty cool myself. But then I thought about it from a different position of someone that didn't know him, that didn't know what he was doing, that didn't know what the Natir Sesson was about. Didn't know what we are about, this of saying prayers, of doing meditations, of saying affirmations. What is the purpose of it? To me, the answer became obvious that it's for you to learn and know yourself. And what does that mean? That you are connected to the creator of the universe, meaning that you are connected to everything in the universe. That everything is of you as everything is in you. As they say, as above, so below. As what's going on out in the far stretches of space is happening right in your body. Operates pretty much the same way. So when you get to learn, when you begin to learn yourself, you begin to learn what the universe is all about. When you begin to learn yourself, you truly begin to know what the creator of the universe is about. And when you learn what the creator of the universe is about, you begin to realize how this life works. Why do we go through the stages of life that we go through? Of course, there's a reason. Nothing is in a vacuum. Nothing is for no reason. Everything has a reason behind it. I said last week, well, not last week, I think a couple of weeks ago, and one of the shows that when I was growing up, my cousin introduced me to the 5% of teachings, the nation of the gods and earths. And when he first told me that you are a god, I remember I said that I didn't understand what that meant, but I didn't think it was crazy. I listened. And, of course, it was hard coming from a Christian background to hear that, because as a Christian, Muslim, or Jew, you're actually taught the polar opposite of that. That you have to depend on something outside of you that's far off in some distant land, this imaginary place called heaven. And heaven is not imaginary. You see it every time you look up in the sky. That's what it is. It is the vast space, well, what we call space. That is heaven. You see it every day. Us see it every day, because a lot of us don't even look up. Talk about chemtrails and go, you must be crazy. Well, look up in the sky. It's right there. What you mean I'm crazy? Oh, that's just residue from the airplane that just flew by. I go, did you hear an airplane fly by? No. So what is that residue that's sitting up there? No airplane went by. But that residue is just sitting there. And some people look at you like you're crazy when you start talking like that. Be like, look up in the sky. It's right there. Every major city I've been to, I've seen them. See, we have went through the education system, the public education system, and a lot of us have been truly dumbed down. I don't mean to sound insulting, but I have to be truthful. We have been dumbed down to be very immature and stupid. And when the truth stares at us in the face, we say to it, it's a lie. Even though we're looking at it, it's right in our face, but we still say it's a lie. It can't be true. Because it breaks the spell, existence that a lot of us have. And part of that comfortable existence is to be stupid, to ignore what's in our face every day. It's like they say, ignoring the big pink elephant in the room, as a matter of speaking. Let me start out with the morning prayer. It goes as follows. Holy is Amen, the Father of all things. Holy is Amen, whose will is performed and accomplished by his own powers. Holy is Amen, that determined to be known and is known of his own are those that are his. Holy are you, who by your word has established all things. Holy are you, of whom all nature is the image. Holy are you, whom nature has not formed. Are you, who is stronger than all power. Holy are you, who is greater than all excellency. Holy are you, who is better than all praise. Accept these reasonable sacrifices from a pure soul and a heart stretched out to you. O you unspeakable, unutterable, to be praised with silence, I appeal to you that I may never err from the knowledge of you. Look mercifully upon me and enable me and enlighten with this grace, brothers of my kind, but your sons. Therefore I believe you and bear witness and go into the life and light. Blessed are you, O Father. Your man would be sanctified with you, as you have given him all power. End quote. I leave the house every morning with that last line on my mind. Blessed are you, O Father. Your man would be sanctified with you, as you have given him all power. Creator of the universe has given me all power. Wow. Now that's a father. That's a parent. As parents, we are supposed to, but we should build up our children every day before they go out in the world. You know, I've witnessed myself at times when parents do the exact opposite. They tear their children down, and then they wonder what happened. Why is he or she acting this way? And the answer to me is obvious. You're tearing them down. That's why they're acting that way. And they feel that they have to prove themselves to you and everybody else around them. And so they do crazy and sometimes stupid things just to prove to that parent that they are worthy of their admiration or respect. Anyone in particular. However, when we as parents tear our children down, we're actually doing a disservice to them. We're taking them out of their nature, and we're shoving problems out in the world when we do that. Parents, when we don't encourage our children, when we tear down our children, we're actually taking them out of their nature. Now, I understand as a parent, real things are going on around us every day. And these things take our attention away from our children. And sometimes I use, for example, a job. The importance of keeping that job, of providing for you and your family. Of course, that's important. At times, it becomes too important that one of our children may take us away from our job, and we get angry at that child as a result. And we say harsh words, not knowing that words possess power. And those harsh words is what takes that child out of his or her nature. And then we ask afterwards, what's wrong with that child? I didn't raise him or her to be like that. And that's not accurate. It's not true. Actually, you did. By what you said or didn't say to that child is what caused that child to be the person him or her has become. Always the parent's fault. Truthfully, our children, because the parents don't give them enough attention, the children become influenced by their friends, television, or the society as a whole, and it takes the attention of that child away from what his or her parent taught them. And some of them become absolute monsters as a result. Some of them become confused people. Sometimes the confusion is managed enough that we call them normal. But sometimes it gets so far out of hand that they become monsters, and they begin to prey on themselves and their family. And once they learn to prey on their family, they prey on anybody outside of the family. It's very easy for them to do it. If they do it to their family, they do it to anybody. Parents, as parents, we have to be mindful of what we're saying to our children every day. And let's say more words and phrases to encourage them to seek their virtues and not teach them to give in to their torments. This phrase I'm going to read is actually what we in Indirazi call our afternoon prayer. And it goes as follows. Which way will I look when I praise you? Upward, downward, outward, inward. For about you there is no manner, nor place, nor anything else of all things that are. But all things are in you, all things from you. You give all things and take nothing. For you have all things, and there is nothing that you do not have. When will I praise you, Father? For it is neither possible to comprehend your hour nor your time. For what will I praise you? For what you have made or for what you have not made? But those things you have manifested or for those things you have hidden. Why will I praise you as being of myself or having anything of mine own or rather being another's? For you are what I am. You are what I do. You are what I say. You are all things, and there is nothing else you are not. You are you, all that is made, and all that is not made. The mind that understands, the Father that makes and frames, the good that works, the good that does all things. Of the matter, the most subtle and slender part is air. Of the air, the soul. Of the soul, the mind. Of the mind, amen. End quote. I remember the first time I read that. And again, it's sinners. When they say you are God, I translate that in mnemonic terms as you are immortal, amen. It's saying the same thing. how we all are connected to the creator of the universe. We all, as souls, are offsprings of the first soul of the universe. We all come directly from the first soul of the universe. So we are connected to the first soul of the universe. As various souls, we are connected to the first soul. And when I begin to meditate about that, then I begin to see what the 5% of teaching was all about. And it grabbed my attention to go deeper into the Natir Sesson, go throughout the book. And as I went throughout the book, I began to see the Christian teachings. I began to see the Muslim teachings. I began to see the Hebrew teachings. I began to see the metaphysical teachings, all wrapped up in one. All wrapped up in one. And so I can listen to Christian teachers. I can listen to Muslim teachers. I can also listen to metaphysical teachers. And you, some would say, how can you listen to all of them? They contradict themselves. And my answer is usually, I can listen to their teachings, and then I compare it to my monic teachings. And it all comes full circle. I can see the truth and the falsehood of what they're saying. I can see the congruent teachings and what they really mean, what they're really about. Down and have conversations with all of those. And I will not be going out of my own teachings because it's in my teachings. Not that they came from my teachings. My foolish opinion is that all of those teachings came out of my teachings because my teachings are not something that my brother Roz invented when he translated the Natir Sesson. When he translated the Natir Sesson, specifically the second codex of the book called the Nesu Indirazi. And this text contains the teachings of all the Nesus, the teachings that they passed down to each other. And when I remember the first time I went through it, and I said, this is clearly a teaching. All the Nesus are just the teaching of the Shat Sila Ma'at, the first codex of the Natir Sesson, the teachings of Tehuti. And it's finished by the teaching of Orset, who some call the Mother Goddess. And I'm not quick to use that term when describing Orset because all our women are the mother goddesses, as all of our men are the father gods. Did you just hear what I said? For you are what I am. You are what I do. You are what I say. You are all things, and there is nothing else you are not. That's talking about our men. Amen is me. Amen is you. Amen is within every man. Amen is within every woman. We all have it. We all have the powers, the virtues of the creator of the universe. It's within all of us. It's part of all of us. It is all of us. And so I look at the different teachings, whether Christian, Muslim, Jew, metaphysician, etc., can see it as a separate expression of the one, but yet it's still an expression of the one. It may be separate from the others, but it's still an expression. When I read the Codex, the end of the Shatzila Ma'at, the confessions of the mother goddess Orset to her son Heru. I say mother goddess, but when I say mother goddess, that's not exalting one entity above all the rest of the goddesses that are here right now in human form. Because you have to realize when you become human that you are the manifestation of a Neter in an animal body. When you become a Neter, you have all the powers of the Neters within you right now. You also have the limitations of a mortal, divine powers within you. Okay, I've just been informed, I'm sorry, the live feed is about to end. If you'd like to hear the rest of this discourse, please dial into 424, excuse me, not 424, I'm sorry, it is 424-222-5376. Again, that's 424-222-5376. If you can't dial in, I will say first I'm in, secondly the world, thirdly man. For those listening on the phone and playback, I will continue. So, to know that you are a unique manifestation of Amen in mortal form, that you have both worlds. Just because you have the mortality of an animal, being the offspring of the earth, or in Haradic we say Merenu, meaning the blessed land. Now, earth is like a Roman expression. But anyway, having a mortal existence doesn't negate the power of the Creator that's within all of us. It doesn't negate it. Because we simply need this mortal form to exist in this environment. We can't manifest as flesh without a mortal form. And some people say, why manifest as flesh? And that's me going in Silamat, that souls had to take on bodies as a teaching. Because as souls, it was said that long ago we neglected our responsibilities in the universe. And as a curse, we had to fall from grace. Now, I know people pick up the Bible and they see this about the antagonist. Set, well, they call him Satan or Lucifer in the Bible. It's Tracy Lamott tells us that this is what happened to us, the souls. So, what am I saying? That we are Satan? No. This is part of the confusion of the sorcerer's teachings. The Shatzila Ma'at clearly states what happened to us as souls is what the Bible and the Quran tells us what happened to Satan. But we're not the same. The fate was the same, but we're not the same. Because the Shatzila Ma'at also says that, or Set, as it's explained in the Shatzila Ma'at, is a part of creation that was put here to test us, the souls. And I hear some people voice their foolish opinions, saying, you know, what was the purpose in here? You know, why not just banish evil? And I remember when I was younger, I seen that as a good question. But once I read the Natir Sesson, it became a foolish opinion. It wasn't a good question anymore. It became a foolish opinion because I begin to understand the things that are. So I begin to stop thinking like a child and to fully mature into what I was supposed to be. And what does that mean? That are just making foolish questions as a child would. I mean, it's not foolish. If you don't know, you don't know. And you ask the question. But why I call it foolish is when you come to the atheistic result or opinion saying that, oh, the creator is stupid because why did he create evil? And the answer is the creator didn't create evil. Evil is the result of generation. Evil is the result of passions. Evil is the result of mortality. That's where evil comes out of. You go back into the Christian Bible and it tells you the number of the beast is 666. I began to understand it when I knew that 666 is merely the number of carbon, the number of mortality, the number of man. 6 protons, 6 electrons, 6 neutrons. You put that together, you form a mortal carbon man. Man is the beast. The beast is man. Oh, how could you say that? Well, you heard me speak last week of the torments of the flesh and how the soul is soaked by the torments of the flesh when it comes into these mortal bodies. Indeed, man is the beast and the beast is man. Not because I say so, not because my foolish opinion. Look at what man does. Every single day. Look at what man does to himself and to everything around him. Destroys, destroys, destroys. And this is the result of a man that is out of touch with his soul or with her soul. Because when I say man, I'm not talking about the male gender only. I'm talking about the species, male and female. Completely out of his or her nature. Let me get into the evening prayer or the third prayer we have here in Amani. And it goes as follows. O communion, which is in me, praise the all. By me the truth sings praise to the truth. The good praises the good. O life, O light, from us to you comes this praise and thanksgiving. I give thanks to you, O Father, the operation or act of my powers. I give thanks to you, O Amen, the power of my operations. By me your word sings praise to you. Receive by me this reasonable or verbal sacrifice in words. The powers that are in me cry these things. They praise the all. They fulfill your will. Your will and counsel is from you to you. O all, receive a reasonable sacrifice from all things. O life, save all that is in us. O Amen, the Spirit. For the mind guides or feeds the word. O Spirit, barren workman. You are Amen. Your man cries these things to you through by the fire, by the air, by the earth, by the water, by the Spirit, by your creatures. From eternity I have found means to bless and praise you, and I have what I seek, for I rest in your will. End quote. Now, three quotes that I read in this show. I ask you to rewind this show and listen to those quotes. Or go to www.enderase.org. That's enderase.org. To assess and for yourself. And you can read these prayers to yourself every day. You can learn these prayers for yourself every day. You can repeat these prayers to yourself every day. And learn the virtue and the power of this timeless teaching that I possess right now. Learn it for yourself. Know it for yourself. Practice it for yourself. And see how powerful you become. This is what I got here. I have a powerful teaching that has come throughout the times. Yes, it's an honor and a privilege. I've been chosen to bring this back out. Not chosen because I'm someone special, has nothing to do with it. Chosen because I realize what I have. I realize what I have and I know the power within it, so how can I walk away from it? It's impossible. I can't walk away from this. I can't hold this to myself. I can't run and duck and hide and form a fraternity to keep this hidden from others. I can't do it. And maybe that is the reason how I found this teaching, or this teaching found me, or we found each other. Because the Father of the universe, who knows my soul, that once I got a hold of this teaching, that I wouldn't turn from it, knew that when my brothers got a hold of this teaching, they wouldn't turn from it. But this is not a fraternity, bearer of secrets. We're not oppressors. We're none of those things. And because we're not any of those things, I know, and some of my brothers also, that piss a lot of people off. I don't look for trouble. I don't want any trouble. But I can't hold back what's been revealed to me. I have to show you what I got. I can lead a world. Thirdly, man.
What up, fam?
How you feeling?
We're back again.
Yes, sir.
I hit the earth like a comet invasion. Stand, stand, permanent, shine like Arthur Razor. You don't understand, I'm so amazing. Mental bullets be raising, making Caucasian persuasions. Focus on the hip-hop nation. My launch laser, angel dust, I'm rushing, crushing seeds like the 86 Bears need. Trap behind the fence, overstand, you can't catch rain because of your mere hesitance. Bridge drop with verbal, eye, your eyes bloody. Book cast sophisticated like old Trinidadian is playing rugby. My verbal assault is filled with concrete words, and your mere words can never budge me. I know I'm the direct rhyme, contagious like chicken pox, you can't.